والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الإمام الباقر عليه الصلاة والسلام: ثلاثة من مكارم الدنيا والآخرة: أن تعفو عمن ظلمك، وتصل من قطعك، وتحلم إذا جهل عليك. صلوات. Tabrik to all of you respectable brothers and sisters, as we are commemorating tonight the Milad of our fifth Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Baqir alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Our fifth Imam was present at the time of Karbala on that occasion of Ashura, and he was 3 years old and witnessed the entire event. Although for a ma'soom it's not required necessarily to be present at a place to witness, because all of them are shuhada and they are all witness of all the a'mal of all the people of all times. And he spent his 34 years of his life with his father, under the imamat of his father Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salatu was salam. And he's the only imam in the lineage of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam who is connected from his father and mother both with the lineage of the Holy Prophet, because his mother is Fatima bint al-Hasan salamullahi alayhima, and she is the daughter of Imam al-Hasan al-Mushtaba alayhi salam. And the narration says that لَمْ تُدْرَكْ فِي آلِ الْحَسَنْ مِثْلُهَا. That means there was no lady similar to her in the entire lineage of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. So this is about the highness of his mother. And Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam is living in the times of Walid ibn Abdul Malik La'natullah alayhima, somebody who is considered to be the Fir'aun of Banu Umayyah, the worst, one of the worst people among those Shajaratun Khabisa, those evil family. And these there were five different rulers in the time of the Imam alayhi salam, Walid ibn Abdul Malik and Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, and also Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And after that it was Yazid ibn Abdul Malik and Hisham ibn Abdul Malik. And he was poisoned in the time of Hisham, and some of the mu'arrikheen and historians have mentioned that he was poisoned by Ibrahim, but upon the order of Hisham ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, la'natullahi alayhim. And the name of and the alqab of all the a'imma are primarily from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And the name of Imam and his laqab, which is Al-Baqir, this is something which is found in Tawrat. Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam has been introduced in Tawrat with Al-Baqir alayhi salam. And this is what the Holy Prophet has mentioned, his laqab Al-Baqir. And when, if you remember the famous hadith when the Prophet had said to Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari that Ya Jabir yushak an tabqa hatta talqa waladan min al-Husayn yuqalu lahu Muhammad. You will live till the time when you will meet a son of Husayn who is called Muhammad. يبقر العلم علم النبيين بقرا. He's going to open up. بقرا يبقر in Arabic means to open and to expand something. He's going to open the knowledges, the knowledge of the prophets in the proper way. فَإِذَا لَقِيتَهُ فَقْرَأْهُ مِنِّ السَّلَامِ. When you meet him, then say my salam to him. This is what the Holy Prophet said to Jabir. So we are not talking about Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi, which is a very, very famous companion of Imam al-Anbiya. I'm going to come to him as well, inshallah. But we are talking about Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi is one of the greatest companions of Ahlul Bayt of all times. You know, we are not talking about him right now. Jabir ibn Abdullah, he is the Sahabi of Rasulullah. So, and the only Sahabi who survived till that time. So the narration says that he met with Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam on one of the streets of Medina. Imam alayhi salam is a resident of Medina. So, and he asked the name, and Imam alayhi salam introduces himself that I am Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. So when Jabir heard that lineage, he looked at the Imam and said, yeah, this is exactly similar to the Holy Prophet. I mean, your appearance, your zahir, your apparently you are similar to the Holy Prophet. Well, obviously he had seen Rasulullah, and Prophet also had said in his hadith that Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, that he would be the most shabih, the most resembling person to me among the people. So we had some of the a'imma who were very resembling to the Holy Prophet, like Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam was shabih of Rasulullah, and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was shabih of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Isn't that right? That's the way it was. So in the so it is there that Hazrat Zahra salam Allah alayha used to say, she said, it's narrated in the hadith that she said to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam when he was a baby that lasta shabihan bin nabi anta shabihun bi ali. So Imam al-Husayn was similar to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, And Imam al-Hasan was similar to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. That was the Madmuna riwayah. So we find likewise Imam al-Hasan was similar and Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam was similar and to the Holy Prophet, and obviously Ali ibn al-Akbar alayhi salam was similar to the Holy Prophet. And Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan al-Mahdi alayhim as-salam. Is the one who is the most similar, more than anyone else. Most similar. So these are some of the members of Ahlul Bayt who are resembling with Rasulullah. And Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam is one of them. So Jafar said, you are similar to Rasulullah. And then he says that obviously Jabir conveys the salam of the Holy Prophet, that salam of the Holy Prophet be to be upon you as long as the heavens and earth, ma'adamat as-samawat wal-ard, as long as the heavens and earth survive, may the salam of the Holy Prophet be on you. And after that, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam asked him to do his wasiyah. That means, I mean, you're about to die basically, you're about to meet Allah, so do your wasiyyat. And Jabir says that, where did you find that from? And that's where Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam replies back to him that, he says to him that basically everything, the knowledge of لَقَدْ أَعْطَانِيَ اللَّهُ عِلْمَ مَا كَانْ وَمَا هُوَ كَائِنْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And certainly, وَاللَّهِ يَا جَابِرْ لَقَدْ أَعْطَانِيَ اللَّهُ عِلْمَ مَا كَانْ وَمَا هُوَ كَائِنْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. I swear to Allah, O Jabir, that definitely Allah has given me the knowledge of the past and knowledge of the future, knowledge of what has happened and what is going to happen, in other words, till the day of judgment. So, and also in some of the narrations say that, Jabir started to mention to the Imam about his own condition. He's a very old man, obviously in his 90s, approximately. And Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. So, very old man. And Imam al-Baqir al-Islam is very, very young. So he says to Imam al-Baqir al-Islam that I am in the situation that, I love death more than the life. I have reached a level that I now love death more than the life, more than living. And I love the marad, that means the illness, more than shifa, more than the cure. And I love the old age more than the young age. This is a very strange statement, isn't it, right? Usually people like the young age and they prefer the young age over the old age, and usually everyone likes the shifa and cure and healthy life instead of having sickness and illness, and everyone likes to live instead of like to die. Usually lots of people are like this. So this is how Jabir is explaining his daraja of Iman and his level of understanding of the religion to Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam in front of him. And when Imam alayhi salam heard this statement of Jabir, Imam replies back, Amma ana ya Jabir, fa in ja'alani Allahu shaykhan uhibbu shaykhukha. If, as far as I am concerned, if Allah makes me an old person, if Allah loves for me to be old, I would start loving being old. And if Allah loves for me to be young, then I'll start loving to be young. And if Allah wants me to stay in this life, in the life, then I would start loving the hayat and life. And if Allah loves for me to die, I'll start loving death. And if Allah loves for me, the shifa, then I'll start loving the shifa. And if Allah loves for me to be mareed and ill and sick, then I'll start loving the sickness. Look at the difference between the ma'rifat level of the Imam and Jabir. Totally, totally different statement. Which proves that the Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam actually they don't love nothing. This is what some people say. Kana al-Hasan alayhi salam yameel ila al-sulh. Isn't it right? And Imam Hasan was mutamayil towards the sulh, and Imam Hussain was mutamayil towards the war. La samahallah, this is tuhmat on Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. This insult of Ahlul Bayt if somebody says that. Neither Imam al-Hasan was inclined towards sulh or peace, nor Imam al-Husayn was inclined towards war. They are both inclined towards the love and ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rida and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah likes to have a sulh in some mawrid, they will love to do it. Isn't it right? Because Allah likes it. And if Allah wants the Imam to fight, then they would love to fight. Because they love what Allah wants. That's it. Their Mashiyat is 100% tabi' and obedient towards the Mashiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the A'imma alayhi salam, that's how they used to be. So Jabir kissed the forehead of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. And he said, Prophet said the truth to me, that you will soon meet my son, who is going to expand the knowledge in the proper way. So basically Jabir is trying to say that you are proving with your knowledge that you are the Baqir, the one who expands the knowledge. So this is the level of the rida of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And obviously it is narrated specially about the Imam alayhi salam, that he was kaseer al-zikr, always remembering Allah while he was eating, while he was doing other things of his life, he was always remembering Allah. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that my father used to gather, when he was mahzoon at some times, he used to gather all the family members, the women, the children, and do the dua, and they used to say Ameen after the dua of the Imam. Ameen is the Ismul Fa'l, isn't it right? It means Istajib. When we do the Ameen, it means Istajib. We are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this dua. Like we say, Ilahi Ameen. So this is, and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that he used to, do the zikr and ask the family members also, in other words, to do the zikr till the tulu' al-shams, till the sunrise. This is a very bad time in Islamic akhlaq for a person to sleep after the fajr prayers up till the sunrise. Very bad. If you want to sleep, we should sleep after the sunrise. It's not the suitable time in Islam to sleep at that. That's the time of the zikr of Allah and the tilawat of Quran. And we find that every Friday, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam used to do tasadduq bid dinar, sadaqah. And he said that sadaqah on Friday becomes mudaaf. It's multiplied, it's doubled, it's increased, it gets increased and doubled. So Friday obviously is a very, very important day where may Allah give us the tawfiq to all of us, that no Friday, at least no Friday in our life should pass by that we don't give sadaqah. Whether you give less or you give more, that's not the point. The point is, this is one of the awsaf one of the attributes of every mu'min, that he never stops giving the sadaqah. So basically, every Friday he was very particular in giving dirham as dinar as sadaqah. And we find that when one of the Nasrani Masihiyin insulted Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam and called him Anta Baqar. Baqar in Arabic means cow, you know. So this is obviously an insult. And this is where we find Imam alayhi salatu wasalam replies back to him in a very mateen and respectful way, that in kunta sadaqta ghafara Allahu laha. First of all when he said Baqar, so he said, well, that I am Baqar, that means I am not Baqar, in other words, what he said, that I am Baqar. So then he said that you are the son of Anta ibn Tabbaha, so you're the son of such and such woman. So Imam alayhi salam says, Zaka hirfatuha, that's her profession, you know, cooking food, that's her profession. And Imam says that in kunta sadaqta ghafarallahu laha, if you are right, may Allah forgive her. That means talking about his mother. Wa in kunta kazibta ghafarallahu laka, and if you are lying, may Allah forgive you. This is how the Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam have been behaving towards those people who have been insulting, personally insulting towards them. Isn't it right? So they never used to forgive those who were insulting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I already explained these points earlier in my speeches. So the same way we are supposed to behave, you know, we are supposed to try our best to forgive those who are insulting us personally. But those who are insulting the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, or the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, we are not here to forgive them. Isn't it right? So, similarly, it is narrated about, Sultan al-Ulama wal-Muhaqqiqeen wal-Mutakallimeen, one of the greatest of all research scholars of the history, glorious Shia history, Ayatullah al-Uzma Khaja Nasiruddin At-Tusi Rahmatullahi Alayh, one of the greatest personalities of the history of Islam. You wouldn't find people like Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi to be born that easily, isn't it right? So, you know, you find hundreds of years have passed away and the books written by Khaja Nasiruddin At-Tusi are unchangeable. No mujtahid or muhakkik can change a word of his book. It does not require any islah or any addition. It's a final word. It's part of the syllabus on the hawzas of Islam, what Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi has written. Remarkable masterpieces of Islam. Although his books were dropped by one of the enemies into the river in Iraq. That's another very sad story. But those books which remained in his hand are, alhamdulillah, the books which survived are still here. Allah gave a lot of barakat in his book and it's still part of the syllabus. So similar thing happened with him, that somebody wrote to him that you are Kalb ibn Kalb, and obviously he displayed a very great akhlaq on that. So basically we should strive to forgive those people who are insulting us personally, but those who are insulting the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, or the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, obviously do not deserve to be forgiven. So we find that Zurara narrates that I was with Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. Now Zurara is one of the four greatest companions, and so much high in his status that he is also part of the al-Mukhbitin. If you remember that hadith where it is narrated about Zurara ibn Ayyan, that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam had said,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
that Bashir al-Mukhbitin bil Jannah, Buraid ibn Muawiyah al-Ajli wa Abu Basir, Lays ibn al-Bukhtari al-Muradi wa Muhammad ibn Muslim wa Zurara, Arba'atun Nujaba Umana Allah ala halalihi wa harame. So these are very great personalities, and we are muftakhir and proud to have people like that in our history. And they are the Nujaba, means the selected ones, and Umana of Allah means that the one towards whom the amanat and trust of Allah has been entrusted about the halal and haram. And then Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, Lawla ha'ula, if these people were not there, لَنْقَطَعَتْ أَثَارُ النُّبُوَّةِ وَانْدَرَسَتْ. That means the remains of Nubuwat would have been broken and gone and erased. So basically, the teachings of the Holy Prophet survives because of the khadamat and services of these personalities. So Zurara says, I was with Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and we were, Imam was following in the Tashi'ul Janaza. Now Tashi'ul Janaza is definitely a lot of thawab in Islam, that we take out and we participate in the Tashi'ul Janaza of the Mu'mineen. And the person who is the one of the relatives, one of the people of that Mayyit, came and said to the Imam that, well, it's okay, you can leave, you know. So Imam still did not leave, and Zurara was asking him to leave, but he refused. So Imam alayhi salam said to him that we did not come here for him, we come here for the haqq. That means there is a haqq on every on the neck of the mu'min, in other words, which I am paraphrasing in my own words, this long narration. So we are here to fulfill our haqq towards the mayyit, and that's what we are doing, you know. So we didn't come here for him, so if he asked us to leave, so we would leave, you know. And definitely, as we learn in the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, where he says that anyone who does the mushayaat, means following the janaza, is mustahab in Islam. When the janaza is carried, you follow behind the janaza. This is called mushayaat, and you are following the mayyit behind the mayyit. So Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that whoever does the mushayaat of janaza has four qiraat of ajr. Qiraat is one of the means of measurement in the old Arabic measurements, which is equal to, like, considered equal to the mountain of Uhud. How big is the mountain of Uhud? So if somebody follows the janaza, he gets one ajr for the sake of the mushayaat in that janaza. And one ajr for the sake of praying over that janaza. Salat al-mayyit itself has a lot of thawab. And one ajr is for the dafn, waiting for the time of dafn, because sometimes it takes a while, the person gets buried inside the qabr. Waiting for the time till the person gets buried, you get one qiraat of the ajr. And also one qiraat of ajr for the ta'ziyah. So you're doing the aza for that mayyit. So please say salawat.
Allah. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
So it is narrated that the ilm of Aimma alayhi salatu wa salam is muntahi, it ends into four people. There are four people who basically received the knowledge from the Aimma alayhi salatu wa salam. First one mentions is Salman al-Farsi rahmatullahi alayhi wa salamullahi alayhi, and then it is Jabir, and the third of all is Sayyid al-Himyari, and fourth is Yunus ibn Abdul Rahman. So these are the four personalities, and obviously we see how much is the share of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, how much he has been working that hard in spreading the knowledge of the Holy Prophet in the city of Medina. Because when I mentioned to you those five rulers who were changing hands, and then the times of turmoil came, and that's one of those times where Imam alayhi salam benefited from those times to start his lectures. So people in the masjid were all narrating. People were narrating from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. So much that one of the persons says that I saw Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam standing at the Multazim. Multazim is that section of the Holy Kaaba, which is between the door of the Kaaba and Al-Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone. So he was there, and there were people standing around the present around Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and in that short time he says that Imam alayhi salam has taught 1,000 masail in that short duration. 1,000 masail of Islam. Definitely it's very shocking to see, and very interesting for us to see in those times how our Imams benefited in the spread of Islam. You know, obviously Makkah and Hajj itself and are one of those locations where it's the most important sites to spread the ma'arif of Islam. Imam al-Baqir al-Islam himself did his wasiyat about making some of his things as waqf for doing the nudba, for commemorating his aza for 10 years at Mina in the Mausim of Hajj. This again signifies the importance of Hajj, that in the at Mina, where obviously all the Hujjaj are present at Mina. Everyone comes in the Hajj, everybody gathers at Mina. For next 10 years, Imam is donating the money, doing waqf for doing this kind of ta'ziyat for him. So this is one of those most ignored duties in Islamic Ummah, that and the occasion of Hajj, so much so that now obviously the Kaaba has been fallen in the hands of the Zionists, isn't it right? Ahle Saud are basically the Zionist government. Isn't it right? Because Islamic Ummah have been ignoring these duties since long. So the whole theme of the Hajj has been lost. The entire theme has just become adat and taqaleed, and doing certain manasik and ibadat without the ruh in it. This is how finally it will end up, that the Kaaba is fallen in the control of the Sahaina. This is what Imam al-Khumayni Ridwan Allah used to say, that bidune bara'at hajj jama' hajj nis. Without the tawahuratul bara'at, our hajj is not considered to be hajj. This is not hajj, isn't it right? We are expected, we are asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do the hajj in according to the maslak, according to the practice of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hajjun Ibrahimi. Is this the way he did when he said, Uffun, Uffin lakum, walima ta'buduna min dunillah? Is it? This is what I will build, I will say I'm dead. Are we doing the same thing? So the whole theme of the Hajj has been lost gradually by the people. So those occasions has to be benefited in the best form. Imam al-Baqir al-Islam had been benefiting from those situations, and so much that Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi, whom I just mentioned to you, he's from Kufa, he's a resident of Kufa, he comes to seek knowledge to Imam al-Baqir al-Islam, and Imam said to him that the who are you? First meeting with the Imam, and he introduces himself. I am a person from Kufa, from which Ta'ifa? He says, from I am Ju'fi. So Imam says, why did you come here? He said, I came here to seek knowledge. From whom? He said, from you. Imam alayhi salam said to him that that in other words, now onwards, if anyone asks you where are you from, say I am from Medina. And Jabir said to him, is it okay to say something which is not true? Imam alayhi salam replies back, what I am telling you to say, what I am telling you is not a lie. Whoever is in a city is considered to be part of that city. And Imam alayhi salam, he says, gave me a book and said to me, as long as Banu Umayyah are alive, are present, if you tell anything of this book to anyone, if you tell these things, may my la'nat and the la'nat of my ancestors be upon you. And then Imam gave me the second book and said a similar thing to me. So Jabir is one of those greatest personalities who later turns to be one of the fuqaha and one of the all-time greatest companions of the Imam alayhi salam. He narrated 70,000 hadiths from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, which he says they are part of the asrar of Ahlul Bayt, which I'm not allowed to mention to anyone. And sometimes he says, I was so disturbed, because obviously when you know something, then you know the secrets already, you feel so much upset. And you see the things happening in front of your eyes and you are upset. Isn't it right? So it's sometimes like junoon, he says, happens to me. And I complained to the Imam, and Imam said that go to the desert and you know, make a ditch and put your head there and say, in other words, what you want to say there. So, Kitman al-Sir is one of those subjects that you will find in the books of our hadith. You know, there's a chapter available in the books of hadith about Kitman al-Sir. You know, keeping the secrets of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So this is just one of those people who have learned that much, and we have abundant ahadith from Jabir al-Ju'fi narrated from the Imam. So likewise, obviously Muhammad ibn Muslim is one of the fuqaha who has learned and so much and narrated so much. 30,000 hadith has been narrated by Muhammad ibn Muslim. So if you just think, you know, that somebody is narrating 30,000 hadith, one person learns 30,000 hadith, one person learns 70,000 hadith, how much knowledge has been transferred and protected by the Imam alayhi salam. So we call him Baqiru Ilmin Nabiyyin. He is the one who expanded the knowledge of the prophets. And these ashab were also obviously very poor, just like the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam themselves. The same Jabir whom I'm talking about once comes to the Imam alayhi salam. He is a faqir person and asks for some help. Imam said, I don't have any dirham. And as Jabir was still sitting there, Kumayt, a very famous sha'ir of Ahlul Bayt, he comes and he says that, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I have written a qasida for you that I want to read in front of you. And Imam gives him the permission to read, and Kumayt reads the qasida in front of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. Imam asked one of the servants to bring 10,000 dirhams from inside the room. And the servant brings the 10,000 dirham back and gives to Kumayt. Kumayt says to Imam, I have another qasida that I want to read in front of you. Imam gives him the permission to read. He reads the second qasida. Imam asks his servant to bring another bag of 10,000 dirhams for him. The servant brings another 10,000 dirham back in front of Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi. And Imam said to him, I don't have a dirham. And Kumayt said to the Imam, I have a third qasida which I wrote and I want you to hear that one as well. And Imam gives him the permission for the third one. And he reads the third one and Imam orders his servant to bring another bag of 10,000 dirhams for him. So 30,000 dirhams were brought and given to him. And when he recited his third qasida, he said to the Imam that I did not write the ash'ar for getting money. I wrote this ash'ar because I want to fulfill the haqq of you Ahlul Bayt on my neck. This is haqqun wajib. This is a faridah on my neck from you Ahlul Bayt to fulfill, and I'm trying to fulfill my faridah. When he says that, Imam al-Baqir orders his servant to take the 30,000 back. 30,000 are taken back, he put it back into the room. And after Kumayt left, Jabir, he obviously thought in his mind that Imam said to me, I don't have a dirham, and he paid 30,000 in front of me to Kumayt. And this is where Imam asked him to go inside the room and see. When he went inside the room, he saw there was no money. So this is basically Imam alayhi salam applies back to Jabir that فَقَالَ لِي يَا جَابِرَ. Jabir says, Imam said to me, مَا سَتَلْنَا عَنْكُمْ أَكْثَرْ مَمَّا أَظْهَرْنَا لَكُمْ. What we have hidden from you is more than what we have shown you. So basically he didn't have any money. This is out of his mu'jiza and his lutf that he's paying. He was paying to Kumayt, otherwise he did not have any money. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa anjil farajum.
And so the and he says, same Jabir narrates from the Imam that I was with Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam visiting the Haram of Karbala, Haram of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. And Imam said to me, هذه روضة من رياض الجنة لنا ولشيعتنا. This is a garden among the gardens of paradise for us and our followers. وحفرة من حفر النار من حفر جهنم لأعدائنا. And this is one of the ditches of the hellfire for our enemies. Definitely this is the fact. And obviously, this is how we find that. So before I had certain things in my mind to talk, but I think it's let me mention the hadith which I mentioned in the beginning of my speech from the Imam alayhi salam, where he says that salasatun min makarim ad-dunya wal akhirah. Three things are among the exalted character and akhlaq of dunya and akhirat. So among the awsafun jameela, and the beautiful moral attributes, all of them are good, but not every sifa, not every attribute of akhlaq is considered to be part of the makarim. They are very fixed attributes which are considered to be part of the makarim al-akhlaq. These are the highest ones, highest things in the ilm al-akhlaq. So the three things which Imam alayhi salam is mentioning in the makarim al-dunya wal-akhirah is an ta'fuwa amman zalamak. That means you forgive the one who does zulm on you. If somebody does zulm upon us, obviously we have a right to take the revenge, and that's not haram, isn't it right? مَنْ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاَعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. So we have a right in Islam to reciprocally do the same thing, but if you forgive, this is part of the makarim of akhlaq and one of the highest moral attributes. وَتَصِرَ عَمَّنْ قَطَعَكَ تَصِرَ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ. And that you keep in touch with the one who breaks away from you. And almost in a lot of families you find relatives, aqriba, who break away from you, who don't want to meet you. Those who want to break away from you, you keep in touch with them. They don't want to meet, that's their choice, but you don't break away from your side. So if you continue with the one who breaks away from you, وَتَحْلُمَ إِذَا جُهِلَ عَلَيْكَ. That means if somebody does a wrong based on jahal and ignorance, you show your hilm and bodhbari and patience towards him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to follow the footsteps of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Wakhdul al-Kuffara wal-Munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasr al-Din. واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين يا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم وفق عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين